Let's turn to Genesis chapter 8. Genesis 8. Let's follow along. But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the cattle that were with him in the ark, and God caused the wind to pass over the earth, and the water subsided. Also the fountains of the deep and the floodgates of the sky were closed, and the rain from the sky was restrained. And the water receded steadily from the earth, and at the end of 150 days the water decreased. And in the seventh month, on the seventh day of the month, the ark rested upon the mountains of Ararat. And the water decreased steadily until the tenth month. In the tenth month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains became visible. Then it came about at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent out a raven, and it flew here and there until the water was dried up from the earth. And he sent out a dove from him to see if the water was abated from the face of the land. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot. So she returned to him into the ark, for the water was on the surface of all the earth. Then he put out his hand and took her and brought her into the ark to himself. So he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent out the ark from out of the dove from the ark. And the dove came to him toward evening, and behold, in her beak was a freshly picked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the water was abated from the earth. Then he waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, but she did not return to him again. Now it came about in the 601st year, in the first month, on the first of the month, the water was dried up from the earth. Then Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the surface of the ground was dried up. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, "Go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and animals and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may breed abundantly on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every bird, everything that moves on the earth, went out by their families from the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took every clean animal out of the clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled the soothing aroma, and the Lord said to himself, "I will never again curse the ground on account of man, for the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth, and I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." Amen. Amen. Okay. So the flood is subsiding now, and so we hear the rest of the story of how Noah comes back to the land. And so it starts off in the first part in the first line, "But God remembered Noah." This is a really great statement in Scripture, right? God remembered Noah. You'll see this happen a lot of times throughout the narratives, where it just simply says, "And God remembered." God remembered Lot. We're going to read about later on, and it doesn't mean God forgot about Lot or God forgot about Noah, but it just means that God is now putting to pieces or putting into place everything that is supposed to happen. In other words, when we talk about God remembering something, it's not, in some ways, it doesn't really have a lot to do with the individual, but it's God who's remembering his covenants, who's remembering his plans. God is now putting into order and putting into effect the plans and purposes that God had for Noah, for the earth, for the animals, and all these things that are taking place. So that's why it's such a beautiful a statement here. And so it says, at this time, God remembers him. So now, you know, rain, this is basically a period of about 5 months. These guys are floating, all these things are happening. So God remembers them. And so then he causes a wind to come. And most scholars believe this is he created a hot wind to come through. If you've never experienced a hot wind, you should experience it sometime. If you spend any time in California, this is what we call the Santa Ana winds. And it actually does good things and also bad things. But in this case here, what it does is it dries up the atmosphere, and then the earth sucks in the rest of the water. So this is kind of a speedy way of getting rid of the water here. You know, it's a process of evaporation. and the fountains of the deep, the floodgates of the sky were closed from the rain and was restrained. So it stopped raining, and now it's just a, now we get into a waiting time, right? So rain stops, water starts disappearing, and now the primary objective of Noah is to wait. That's really the theme of this chapter, and hopefully it will speak to you as well. Probably the most difficult time of our Christian life is waiting. In other words, it's we know God's purposes. We know this is what God is doing. We know this is God's plan. This is God's will. And yet from, and we kind of see something happening, but until the time comes, there's a waiting period. And for a lot of people, it's really tough. I mean, me too. I hate to wait. But it's one of these things that builds our character. And I mean, it does so many things in our life. And so it's a waiting season that happens. So the water receded steadily on the earth. Okay, we read this. About 5 months. And then in the seventh month, it's not talking about the seventh month of this storm. It's talking about the calendar, seventh month. The ark rested on the mountains of Ararat. If you're familiar with geography, there are mountains of Ararat that's known, and it's formerly in the area, it used to be called Armenia. Now it's what we call modern-day Turkey. And the Armenians were very attached to these mountains, and in fact, it's on their national flag. And so we see how you know, this history, this tradition is laid up here. And now the ark sits and rests. So no more floating around, no more movement. Now it's just stopped. And now the waiting period has come upon them. I mean, I would suggest that they've been waiting for 5 months before. But now something is actually happening, and the rain stopped. So the water decreased steadily the 10th month. And so in the 10th month, first day, the tops of the mountains become visible. Then it came about the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made. And so now it's the first time they actually have a view of what's going outside. Or, I mean, they had a view, but now they're getting to smell fresh air. Can you imagine? I mean, just think of, can you imagine what the ark smelled like inside? You know, these months of tons of animals. And, man, it's crazy. And they finally get to open a window. That's like, praise God, you know? So he opens a window, and then he sends out a raven, and it flies here and there. Nothing happens. Then he sends out a dove, and the dove keeps coming back. And this is probably the first instance. Now, notice, Sabbath was instituted in Genesis. Okay? And so God takes a Sabbath. And it seems very likely also that Noah continued carrying on this tradition as well. That he specifically waited 7 days, gets a dove, stops, waits another 7 days, sends him out again. And this became a typical pattern. And even in the midst of the waiting, this is going to speak to some of you right now. Even in the midst of the waiting, Noah still was faithful to God. He was faithful to keep the Sabbath. Noah was faithful to keep and do what he should always have been keeping and doing. How many times when we're waiting on God, that we stop being faithful. We stop doing what we should be doing. We kind of take a vacation from God. I know a lot of people that take a vacation from God. You know, they tell me straight up, oh, Sam, I just need a vacation from God. What does that mean? Basically, it means, Sam, I just choose to be unfaithful in this waiting time. Everything is not really working out right now, and so I'm just going to be unfaithful. Whereas Noah's case, he's waiting and waiting. His family is waiting. His animals are waiting. Everyone's waiting and waiting. But Noah chooses to be faithful to the Lord. He chooses to continue to obey what he knows he should obey. You know what I mean? That's huge. That is so big. Because a lot of times when we're waiting, what we typically want to do is we want to speed the process up by working, doing our own thing. You know, we want to speed the process up, or we just want to give up altogether. But Noah just waits and waits patiently, and he observes the Sabbath. He does what he's supposed to be doing. And really, when we talk about waiting on God in these things, the best, really the only thing you can do is keep obeying the last things that God said to you. Right? You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. You're stuck. It's something. This is the best advice. And if you come to me for advice, this is what I'll tell you to do. Always keep obeying the last thing you heard from God. The last thing that you know that you're supposed to do. And keep doing that until God redirects you to do something else. All right? That's really great advice. So actually, you don't have to come talk to me anymore. Okay? So it works out really well. So I was just kidding. So he waited another 7 days, and then he goes out, and then the dove comes back with a freshly picked olive leaf, knowing, oh, you know, the water has abated from the earth. And so what does Noah do? Does he open the door of the ark and say, all right, man, there's land, everything's good? No, the next verse says, so he waited yet another 7 days. And then he sends out the dove again, right? He obeys. He doesn't obey his own intuitions. He doesn't obey his own feelings or his own ideas or try to make it happen himself, right? For me, of all things, I'm the most guilty of that. I want to make it happen as much as possible. He doesn't do that. He goes back. He spends another 7 days, observes Sabbath, and then he sends the dove out again, right? This is one patient man. Amazing how patient he is. And so he sends the dove out, and then guess what? The dove doesn't come back. And so he know that now Noah knows, wow, this dove is found a place. And this is really rare, because that's what doves do, right? Doves come back. That's the whole point. Can you know all those like Olympic games when they send them out and stuff? Can you imagine how much money those bird or one of the bird trainers would lose if their doves didn't come back and whatnot? But he lets them go do his thing, and then this is what he's been waiting for the whole time, right? This is what you should be waiting for when you're waiting the whole time. Verse 15. God spoke to Noah and said, "Go." Right? This is the key verse here. God spoke to Noah and said, "Go. Now go." Right? Instead of Noah doing it on his own, instead of trying to manipulate all the loose ends, trying to get everything together, Noah waited and waited, but he didn't just wait passively. He waited actively. He sought God's face in the midst of this. He waited. He sought God's faith. He observed Sabbath. He waited again and just again and again, this whole process of waiting on God, waiting on God, waiting on God. And then the moment comes. God says to Noah, "Go." That's what we need. We need a word of the Lord to give us that direction, but it's only going to come through the waiting. I wonder, you know, and this is myself included, I wonder how many of us that we get so far ahead of God, or we do all these things, you know, trying to manipulate all the scenarios and situations and whatnot, and we're so busy doing all these things, we can't even hear his voice. And God says, "Go." God speaks to us so clearly, but we're just trying to figure out all the nuances, you know, of how is this going to work in my job? How is it going to work for my kids? How is it going to work for my living? How is this going to, you know, work for my education? How is this going to work for my leisure? You know, am I going to be able to play golf at this place? Or, you know, I mean, all these things that we think about. And yet in the midst of this, God says, "Wait, wait." And then finally the word comes, "Go, go." Powerful word. I personally think this is God's favorite word. Go. Right? Simple. Go. He's always telling us that. It doesn't mean leave a location, but step off into an adventure. You know, I say this because, you know, this is 2/3 of God's name. He must love this, right? Go. It's so sorry. That was a Pastor O joke. And so I gave him credit for that bad one. So, go out of the ark, you, your wife, your sons' wives with you. Notice everyone was healthy, everyone was safe. And in fact, I would suggest to you that there was actually increase in the waiting period, that they would go out. So Noah went out, his sons, verse 18, his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every bird, everything that moves on the earth went out by their families from the ark. Now, the language changes a little bit. You know, it's not just out of their kind, it's by their families. And so so what most scholars believe that during this time, in these, you know, gosh, how many months? But five waiting, and then another 40 days, and then weeks after. So you're talking about maybe seven, you know, I'm really bad with this, but maybe 8 months they've been waiting this whole time. And in the midst of this, animals, man, they've been growing like crazy. You know, they've been mating, and you know, all these things happen. Obviously, humans have not. Right, because you can't have a baby in 8 months. Well, I guess you can, but in any case, so most likely, so talking about all these animals, there's been a lot of multiplication. So by the time they leave the ark, there's so many of them, and so they file out amongst their family now, with their children and whatnot as they go over the ark. The animals, not the humans. And then, what does Noah do? So, okay, let me make a point about that. And so, they're waiting, right? They're waiting aggressively, not passively, or I should say actively. They're seeking the Lord. They're observing God's Sabbath. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're doing the last thing that God told them to do. They're obeying God, even in the midst of the waiting. All these things are happening. And there's increase. There's multiplication inside the ark. Good things are happening in the waiting space, right? Isn't that true? You know, and this is one of those things that will only manifest, you only understand after it's over. You know, that is sometimes in the desert moments when it's thick and whatnot, some of the greatest blessings come out of that place. I mean, I testify, you know, right now, probably the most difficult, this is just ministry-wise, okay, the most difficult period of my life, ministry-wise, is the 2 years I spent before I moved to Hong Kong. In the midst of those 2 years, I got married. I mean, it's crazy, right? And I look back, and especially now that, you know, I'm counseling people that want to get married and whatnot, and they're making sure that everything's in order, and, you know, we got to save up money. I had no money. I had no job, right? I tell you, my wife is a woman of faith. You know, just absolutely incredible. We got married during that season of such difficulty professionally in ministry and financially. It's probably the most broken I've been financially, you know, at this stage. And yet God still seems to do amazing things. He's able to multiply and bring incredible blessing even in the midst of the hardest times of our life. And so then they come out of this increase. And then what does Noah do? What is his first instinct when he gets out of the ark, right? Does he go and he kiss the ground? Well, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. It doesn't say. If I was Noah, I would, you know. Does he smell the trees and the flowers, you know, probably. But what is his instinct? It says that Noah built an altar to the Lord. He took every clean animal and every clean bird, offered burnt offerings on the altar. He offered thanksgiving to God, right? It's amazing that, I mean, this works in the world too, right? Because you're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and then the next thing you know, you finally hit upon the promise. It's amazing how, you know, in our life, we kind of forget the waiting, don't we? We're just so grateful for the promise. And then it makes you think, maybe that's why we waited so long, right? In one sense, if it came too fast or came too easy, maybe we wouldn't appreciate what we really had. But because we waited and waited and waited, there's that sense inside of us. It's like, I always picture this like graduation, because I know everyone's graduated something, especially, you know, high school or college. And do you remember your graduation day? Man, it was so fun. I remember mine. It was so fun, right? A lot of pictures. I had an embarrassing amount of flowers, right? You know, Asians and flowers. I don't know what the deal is. But it was embarrassing. I had so many flowers, you know. In my university, I was kind of known as a really manly guy. And I've got this bouquet of flowers. I'm walking around everywhere. And so I got this. And it was such a great time. I guarantee I wasn't thinking about the all-nighters. I wasn't thinking about the term papers, you know, or the lame books that I had to read. I wasn't really thinking about all that. I was just enjoying the moment there because it was so glorious. And I think in the same way, when we come to this place, the fulfillment of promise or fulfillment of a season or whatnot, the first instinct should be thanksgiving. The first instinct should be offering. The first instinct should be giving, right? This is exactly what he does. So he takes every clean, you know, and think about it. This is a risk for Noah. This is a risk for mankind because who knows, you know, you take the best animal, you know, in during this time, man, you know, you think that best animal could have made 10 animals. I mean, you don't know this thing, but it was an offering of faith. And so he takes the choice. He takes every clean one and every clean bird, and he offers a burnt offering. And God is so pleased with this offering. All right, God is so pleased. And this is what he says. And this gives us a little idea of what worship is like. And the Lord smelled the soothing aroma. Remember the offering, they burned it, right? So it's literally the burning, what do you call that? The smoke, right, is going up. And he smells, and it's an aroma to God. This is worship. This is our thanksgiving. This is our giving of our tithes and our offerings. This is, you know, when we give God our choice things, being our time, treasure, and our talents, and these things go up to the Lord, and it's this soothing aroma to God. The scriptures tell us that our prayers rise up like sweet incense to the Lord, and it's this sweet, sweet aroma that goes before God. It's so nice, you know. Even just like a aroma. We have a drawer in our guest room, and I found a bunch of candles. Right, I mean they've been in there for ages, and so we thought we'd take them out. And we have these one candles from Banyan Tree that I think someone gave us as a gift, probably like 8 years ago, and it's just a little bit sitting there. And we took it out. Man, it smells so nice. You know, and, you know, you stick a candle, you know, in your, okay, I'm not going to go there. So sorry, it's too early in the morning, but it smells really nice, and it creates a really nice mood in your home. And it's so wonderful. And our worship, our giving to the Lord creates this incredible aroma to God. It's sweetness, you know, not necessarily, obviously the idea is his nostrils here. You know, but it's so sweet. And then God makes a covenant. He says, I will never again curse the ground on account of man. And from his youth, I will never again destroy every living thing as I've done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. And then he makes the covenant in the next chapter. Okay, so let's close our eyes. Let's pray about waiting a bit. It seems to be the central theme, or at least the theme that I've chosen out for this passage. Are you waiting on something? I know a lot of us are using this fasting time, a really important time, to wait on an answer, specific direction. Some dealing with vocation, some dealing with relationships. Because I'm praying for you guys. In the waiting, are you waiting like Noah? Noah was actively pursuing God. He wasn't passively waiting. And by the way, when the Bible talks about waiting, it's always talking about active waiting. It's not just sitting on your butt and just doing nothing. He constantly sought God. He was doing what the last thing that God told him to do in this term regarding Sabbath, and he was just continuing to go on. And then even when it looked like things were coming together, the water dried up, the boat, you know, the ark stopped, stuck on the mountain. And even when the dove comes back with the olive tree, Noah doesn't get ahead of God. Noah doesn't try to make things happen. Noah doesn't try to manipulate situations. Noah just waits for the word. And the word comes. Listen, folks, the word's going to come. Go. Go. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Let Him whisper into your heart of hearts. Let Him move you like Noah. Right? A righteous man. God remembered Noah. And if we move in this kind of way, man, God's going to remember us all the time. And so let's pray. Maybe you're not waiting on something, but maybe you know someone who is. Pray for them and maybe share this message with them. Let's worship the Lord.
To save.
Why don't we take this time to really pray, huh? Pray in the midst of the waiting. Pray that we would be faithful like Noah until we hear God's voice, you know, until we hear God's word on the matter. Let's pray that we would be actively waiting on the Lord, doing what we know we should be doing, and then not taking matters into our own hands, but allow God to speak forth his purposes of the waiting. Huh? Let's pray right now. Actually, I kind of sense something in my heart, my spirit. And so if you give me a little liberty, I want to pray for you guys. I want to pray together. How many of you guys are like in this message that you actually are waiting for something? Like during this fast, there's a decision or something in relationship or something going on that you're really quite waiting on the Lord for. And we just want to pray with you guys today, this morning, and really set your heart to him. And so just simply, just raise your hand in the air, you know, like I'm waiting for something, right? And why don't we, if your hand, you leave that hand in the air, right? And let's typically do what we typically do as a church. Let's open our eyes and let's look around to our friends that have a hand up, and let's move around the room and let's just lay hands on them. Right, they're all kind of in a time of Noah right now, in a sense. They're all in the ark. Let's pray that, like in the story, that God will be faithful. Right, they'll be faithful. God will be faithful. Right, keep the hand up. Bonnie's over there. David's here. Angela's here. Right, Nellie also has her hand up. There's a lot of hands. If, as soon as you feel a hand, you can put your hand down. Okay. So church, let's move around. I think this is almost like 50-50, man. So you need to be praying for somebody this morning. Anyone else? Helena there has got a hand. Okay, thanks, Belinda. Thaddeus has a hand up in the back. No one's going to him. Come on, church. And we don't need to know what it is. Anyone have a hand up? Let's just minister them right now. Okay, thanks, Brian. Let's pray, huh? Just cover them right now. I just feel like there's just a real grace today over you. I think the message really hit home. And now let it just do its work in our life. I think some of us are trying to manipulate the results. Just let go. Just let go. Just totally just let go. Just let go and trust God. I feel like some of you guys will have a word. It doesn't necessarily have to be a directive word. But man, you just step out in faith and just bless them as God uses you. And God just wants you to know what he feels and thinks about you. Let this time of fasting be a time of consecration. Jesus. Just share your heart with one another. I didn't talk about this one aspect, but you know what made the ark, I think, really fun for Noah in one sense, the waiting? His whole family was with him. And so, if you feel led and you're praying for someone, and I don't think it's a mistake that you're with the person that you are, why don't you just tell them, hey, you know what? I'm going to pray for you throughout this fast. I want to pray that you hear God's word throughout this fast. I mean, if God's speaking to you, let him know that the family has got their back. Just say, hey, you know what? I'm going to commit myself. I'm going to pray for you. You know, when I come out here to EMP, I'm going to lift you up. Just basically saying, you know what? We're going to be in the ark together. You're not alone. The family's with you. Let him know. Let him know. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to give you a time, and maybe after you're praying with that person, you guys can just spend some time talking, and just maybe you can feel free. If you don't want to, it's okay, but maybe you can share exactly what you're waiting for so the person knows what they should be praying for you about. I'm going to give you time to do that. I'm going to close the service now. Right? So it's kind of one of the nice things about being a charismatic church. Right? You can just do whatever you want. Just be led by the Spirit. Right? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this time. We just thank you for the word this morning, God, and just the prompting of your Spirit, Lord, that you lead us, you guide us, God. And we lift up all these concerns, God. Every one of our friends that lift up their hands, Lord, they're waiting on something. That something is precious, God. That something is meaningful to them, and we know it's extremely meaningful to you as well, God, because you love us, Lord. And so, Lord, would you allow them to walk in patience, God, an active waiting, Lord. Let them know, God, that they're not alone in the ark. The family is with them. Lord, in that, God, that they wouldn't try to run ahead of you, Lord, or do things in front of you, but just wait for that word that's going to come, God. And as they consecrate this time during this fast, Lord, that the answer will flow. So we thank you, God, so much. Bless them, Lord. Thank you for this church family, God, and the way that we're able to pray for one another and lift each other up to bear one another's burdens, God, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. And so we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.